Guys, it's Madison from On the Block. This week's special guest is super special. She knows more about the game than anyone because she's played it. We talked with Big Brother 20's Angela, better known as Rockstar. She is just as fun as you'd expect and dishes all the deets about her time in the house and what she's been loving about this season. Stay with us because you don't want to miss it.
I'm AJ, and this is On the Block, a podcast about Big Brother.
Okay, this week. So we have Tiffany making history as the first person to ever be HOH twice in a row,
Crazy.
which is amazing. And there's some controversy around this. So I want to give my perspective slash go on a little rant because here's the deal. Here's
Preach
the
it. Lay it
thing.
down. Lay it down.
Xavier is mad. Okay, let me back up. Xavier is mad, period, is a sentence. He is always mad, it feels like. But okay, let's back up. They wanted Claire and Alyssa out, obviously, so that the cookout could make it to the final six. That was the plan. Doesn't matter what order they go out in. It doesn't, like, none of the details really matter. However, Derek F. and Azza have not won an HOH, and they really wanted to. I know Azza really wanted to win. So there was a plan in place for everyone to drop to let Azza win the HOH. Should Tiffany have dropped to let Azza win? Sure. However, Azza fell before Kylan as well as Tiffany. So when Tiffany realized Kylan was also responsible for not throwing it to Azza, she knew she had to stay on the block because she frankly can't trust Kylan. So
Nobody
she,
knows where Colin's head's at, really.
exactly. So she stayed on the block to continue the mission of the cookout, which from my perspective, she has not wavered in doing that at all this entire time. She has stuck very true to the mission of the cookout, and I don't know why anyone would question that, even if she did win this HOH.
Yeah, I have no idea where that questioning came from.
No, same. So I don't really know what's going on there. Xavier gets furious that Tiffany wins, which is stupid because we know that Alyssa has to go home at some point.
Ego.
So I am upset because they're making Tiffany out to seem selfish, even though Xavier is the selfish one trying to keep Alyssa. Like, Tiffany's not selfish. Xavier is. And the edit of the show is skewed. Everything's skewed. And they're all pointing fingers at Tiffany. And I'm like, she's just doing what she has to do to get the cookout to the end. So why is everyone complaining?
Yeah, I think there's a lot flawed with. One, I could almost say Tiffany hasn't had to waver that much yet, but it's like there's a lot flawed. So it was her against Kylan at the end. Kylan's already proven he's not willing to throw it to one of his teammates on the cookout. Like he's already done it once where Azza's like, I want to win this.
It's true.
And Kylan went above and beyond to quickly
To
against.
protect Sarah Beth. So I don't understand why they don't get why Tiffany would want to protect Claire in the same way that Xavier's trying to protect Alyssa. Like it's all the same, but they're not holding her to the same standard that they're
No,
holding
it's all
themselves.
ego.
And it's, well, it's just a double standard.
Yeah.
Like, it's really frustrating to watch. So that's really annoying. And then Alyssa winning the veto is annoying because I really do believe that they threw it to her. Whether or not the edit shows that, I firmly believe that they like did not want to win and wanted Alyssa to win just to force Tiffany to have to put up Claire, which I think is absolute bullshit. And like,
Well, there's a whole plan that, what was it, Xavier was talking about, which is beyond me. Why would you even, I mean, clearly you're at the house, like, together at this point for such a long time, so mentally you probably aren't thinking clearly, but Xavier was like, he was on the block as well, and he was like, I will literally, if I win, I'm gonna take Alyssa off to
yeah,
force
it's so
Tiffany to make a decision.
stupid.
Like, what?
To me, that just shows their lack of commitment to the cookout and not hers. Like, she is the most dedicated to the cause, and they are not. I think it's hilarious. So, spoiler, which this is what this podcast is, Claire ends up going home on Tiffany's HOH. Claire has, we'll talk about her in a minute, just the best attitude about the whole thing. It's just funny because it is double eviction night.
Yeah.
And Hannah wins the HOH and puts up Alyssa and Xavier. And Xavier takes himself off, which, again, is stupid because he just, like, is such a baby about being on the block, which I think is annoying when that's just, like, the game that you're playing. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to do that sometimes. But Alyssa ends up going home anyways the same night that they did all of that construction to keep her in the house. I just think it's so funny. And then Xavier, like, super upset about it. I'm just like, you, like, it's just, it's just frustrating to me, the whole thing. I want to revisit Claire, who is such a gem angel person. Like, holy shit, what a wonderful human being to have a ride or die in the house tell you, I have to put you on the block. And being okay with it. Yeah. And, like, being just such a good sport about the whole thing is, like, truly a testament to how amazing she is. And I hope that they invite her back to actually have a chance to win play. The game.
I think there's... I mean, we kind of talked about it outside of this. Like, I hope they bring back, like, a few other people from this cast to really have a shot. There's some good players and good people on this.
I know. On one hand, I'm like, wow, I love the cookout. This is my favorite thing ever. And on the other, I'm like, oh, I loved some of the duos. And I wish, like, there are people in the cookout who I don't like and I don't think deserve to win, regardless of their skin color. And so I'm like, oh, I hope those aren't the people who make it to the final three. I think there are deserving people in that group, and I think there are people who are not. So I hope that the people who didn't do a lot aren't the ones who make it to the end, which would be really
frustrating. No, absolutely. I mean, we have to look. One, it's amazing the cookout made it this. Like, they literally...
No one really targeted them.
Insane.
At all, while admitting that they were all threats. I mean, the number of people who said Xavier is a threat the whole time, while no one was targeting him, and he was on the block multiple times. Mm-hmm. But once it got down to so many, like, they were the votes. So it really didn't matter, if he was on the block, which was the plan that Tiffany created
at the very start.
I mean, she is... Above all else, if there were no cookout, if Tiffany was the whitest white woman, genius plan, wonderful game player, I have so much respect for her on so many levels, and I really would have loved to see Tiffany and Claire at the end, final two.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see, like, Derek X in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved a Derek X, Hannah, Claire, and Tiffany final four, and then let them duke it out and see.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of it, it's like, it's a game, and they played the tactic. Which is, like, this is a rare thing where there isn't this binding force that really would hold, like, a team together to make it all the way through.
Is it rare from the racial side, it's rare for an alliance at all to make it this far in the game
and not have anyone eliminated
intact. Yeah. I mean, it is truly
amazing,
just absolutely crazy. I'm starting to get nervous now that the wrong people will continue
that
on.
Will win,
and that's where I'm getting just like, like, there's a few people in the cookout that, like, on a normal season should have gone home, maybe pre-jury, who aren't contributing much to their alliance at all. And so I hope that it doesn't impact the Tiffany's and the Hannah's.
Yeah.
And even, you know, Kylan should make it to Final Four. He's won HOHs, you know? And
yeah, no, there's some competitors going
on. Yeah, I think, you know, regardless of how I feel about him, he definitely has held his weight in getting them there, mm-hmm. which I think is, you know, you have to do that. And even if You can't win comps, which, you know, I don't know if I would be able to win anything. You have to be able to at least, like, help in some way with strategy or, you know, contributing in some way to your alliance.
Yeah.
And so I definitely think there are people who have really, really, really made an impact on getting them to this historical moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at the end of the day, it's like, no matter who wins, even if it's not someone we want to be at the final two, it's like, we won, essentially. Like, this is a huge impact of what's happening this season, which is awesome to see and be a part of. Yeah.
No, it's amazing. So, super excited to see what happens. And for everyone who says the season is boring, it's about to get
I'm excited for the next several.
Interesting. Yeah. So, I mean, watching an alliance have to attack themselves is just
going to be back to like the real gameplay.
Yeah,
it's gonna be the double elimination.
Yeah, we've got another double eviction coming up, which is gonna be crazy. Especially since there is no one else left to send home. Like, they have to self-implode at this point. So with a double eviction, it's going to be wild. I love the idea of it because right now we've got Hannah and Tiffany on the block from Kyland. But if one of them gets off with the veto or one of them goes home, then you've got one of them coming back with a vengeance in this double eviction. And you could have Xavier and Kyland on the block next. And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. And
it's
maybe
gonna be fun to watch.
You get Azza pulling out an HOH win or something. I mean, give me something.
That'd be a wild
something.
Card. Yeah.
Give me something. You got to start building that resume. Jury management for all of them is essentially ruined, I think, minus Tiffany, who gained a lot of respect from Claire, and Derek X is going to vote for Hannah, I think, regardless. If Derek F or Azza makes it to the end, you've got a Brittany vote. But other than that, it's going to be really tough to see. I don't know if Xavier is not in the final two. I don't know who Alyssa would vote for. I really don't. I think it would not be Hannah, but I don't know. So it's kind of a toss-up at this point who would actually win, depending on who's in those final two chairs. So it's going to start getting really, really interesting. I think now the hard part is who will the cookout vote for to win at the end?
Yeah.
Which is going to be interesting.
It will be.
But we will see. This week's going to be super exciting. So next week we will be talking about this next double eviction, which is going to be crazy. And then we are really at the final stretch. I think there's like 2 weeks left after that. It's going to be wild.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun ride the next couple weeks.
Yeah, totally. And I can't even believe we're like going to be wrapping this up, which is crazy. But I guess announcement, we will be back for Big Brother Celebrity.
Big time. Let's go.
This winter. Super excited. It'll be super fun, and I'm really excited to see who they pick.
Yeah, cool, because we've been going back through,
yeah, Celebrity Big Brother, and the cast have been great, and I'm really excited to see who they pick this time around. But yeah, we'll see what happens. And now I'm so excited because I get to share with you my interview with Angela Rockstar, who is... as I told her, she is the saving grace of Big Brother 20. Absolutely incredible. She brought the drama, which we love. She brought some of our favorite quotes that we like to say from that season that you want to like throw on a t-shirt on her daughter's birthday. Like, absolutely incredible. And she was just as incredible to talk to. Just really down to earth, totally gets it. And I'm really excited to share this with you, and I'm so grateful that she took the time to talk with me. So here is my interview with the Angela Rockstar.
You know, yeah, it's crazy. I've got a gig. I'm going out to Ohio to a studio for soon, and I'll be quarantining when I get back from that. And I think that we're making what's now a bold move for us. I think we're going to the Renaissance Festival, which we're really super excited about. But
wow.
Like, oh my gosh, that's so peoply.
Scotty, I know.
Scotty from my season of Big Brother is actually coming to visit us this week.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's coming to the Renaissance. We're taking him to the Renaissance Festival. My middle daughter, Avalon, her and my partner, Chris, their birthdays, Avalon's birthday is the 9th and Chris's birthday is the 15th. So we're doing like a combo birthday celebration of going to the Renaissance Festival.
Oh my God. That is so fun. So you stay in touch with people from Big Brother?
I do. I mean, whether it's like, you know, even just a social media, like, hey, every now and again, some people I talk to, some people from other seasons I talk to more often than I talk to people from my season. Scotty is a good friend. Scotty is a good friend to my man. They get along very, very, very well. So, I mean, like, I think that they actually arranged this trip for Chris's birthday. And I mean, of course, I love Scotty. I was totally cool with that, but they did that on their own. I was told about it basically like after everything was said and done. And I was like, dope. So Scotty and Chris are really good friends. They are a lot alike in a lot of their likes. Of their things that they enjoy. So, and I think I'm not 100% sure, but I think Scotty's going to get a tattoo from Chris as well. So that's,
oh my gosh, that is so cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like, it's so cool. Yeah. So yeah, I just have so many questions about that world, but,
whatever you want to talk about.
I mean, okay, so first, like, your thoughts on this season, because I mean, it's very like controversial. I feel like people are like either absolutely loving it or like not about it. And I mean, I kind of know what your thoughts are from Twitter, but I'm just so curious to hear your take on what's happening.
I love this season. I am definitely on team. This season is great. There are a lot of levels as to why I like this season, but the main thing is going to go beyond, I think, any of the necessarily obvious. And what I really, really, really like about this season is that these people in the cast, all of them are like so well-rounded, and they're all like very three-dimensional individuals. You haven't really gotten your like two-dimensional, I don't want to call anybody fake, but like there's an element of, you know, presentation that I guess some past players put on or have put on to further whatever it is that they're doing. And I just kind of feel like these folks are very real. They're very authentic. And I appreciate that in reality TV. Even though it is TV, I think it's cool to see real people that you can identify yourself with. Not like if I want to watch a bunch of people that I may never live like, well, you know, maybe I'll watch the Kardashians or the Real Housewives, or, you know, I don't want to shoot myself in the foot. Shit, maybe I'll make that much money one day. I would love to see it. But realistically, you know, if I'm watching a reality show of people competing for a life-changing amount of money, I want to see people on there that will really benefit from that life-changing amount of money. Real, authentic people. And that is what I truly have loved about this season. I've loved about the entire cast. They all have backstories. CBS did something really amazing this season when they've partnered with the Red Cross. And the Red Cross is a little, you know, I mean, I donate blood, and they definitely have, I mean, as does any conglomerate thing. Like, I mean, Haiti doesn't want us to donate to Red Cross Haiti. That's something that I know about. But on the back end, let me rewind and go back to the positives of what I was trying to say, is that I've never seen CBS do anything like that, or at least not on Big Brother, where the house guests are helping out a cause and really talking about it. And then during that segment, they started talking about all the different ways that they help out in their real lives. And I was like, this is so beautiful, because what I would like people to take away from role models, outside of like, oh my God, glamorous, fabulous life of you can watch, you know, like I said, your Paris Hilton, your Kim Kardashian. When you're watching a reality TV show like Big Brother, I would love to see somebody go, wow, this person volunteers at their local shelter, or wow, they teach, they volunteer at a youth program. That's amazing. These are things that I can actually go do out in my own community and better society. I love to see those kind of role models in the forefront of any background, because those are the roles I think we all need to model ourselves after. People doing well for themselves and for each other, for their community, and, you know, for the environment and things like that. So I really, I love this season on a lot of different levels. I do love the entire cast. I think they all have had a place and a part, and even you know, like, I mean I'm gonna say it, even Frenchie, that I was like, what the hell is this dude doing? It made for fantastic and stressful TV. I mean, it was definitely like, oh my God, like, what, why? It was just complete chaos. But it was, I mean, I was glued to my screen. What is going to happen? So I think everybody in the cast has had a really valid, integral part. I love that there are, there were parents on this cast, and not just one parent, but several people on the cast could identify with each other, knowing what it was like to miss their kids. And it seemed to be a little bit more of a mid-age range cast, which I like too, because that gives just a little bit more life experience. Then, I mean, I've really, really, really enjoyed this season. That's just all the things that wouldn't be the obvious, what's different about this season, the diversity, the fact that the people of color were not immediately kicked out, that there has been enough Black people to even form an alliance like this. I mean, it's just, you know, those are, I think, all the things that, for me, they're obvious things that I would say. So I was kind of going back. I also,
no, like, I love that. I love it.
I really like Kyland a lot, because I also have ADHD, as you'll see as we talk and I go back and then I restart. And I've never seen anyone on TV that's spoken so freely about that. It's always kind of something that I think we know we have, and we know annoys other people, but it's also just kind of how our brain works and processes. So it's like, hey, you're either riding with me or you're not. I've never seen someone speak so much about it. And I've honestly, even though, you know, I hope Tiffany wins and that's who I'm rooting for, there are a lot of ways that I see myself in Kylan and the way that he expresses himself. And I personally have never identified my own characteristics that maybe even like, oh, I see why that's annoying people. Oh, I see how maybe I understand this situation in my own life that I didn't understand where the other person was coming from. And now I can kind of, you know, incorporate that and go, oh, all right, well, you know, maybe I was interrupting or talking circles or whatever else. So that's been really fascinating to me specifically.
Wow. Yeah, no, I love that. I mean, yeah, I completely agree. I think this cast is phenomenal on like so many fronts. I mean, just seeing people, you know, the diversity, obviously, but even just like, you know, the white people are like you said, three-dimensional. It's not people who are just like, I want to like be a model when I get out of this house. It's like, I have like aspirations and goals, and I had an education, like Hannah just graduated college. Like, I just love like the diversity in that sense too, of like mm-hmm. the different career paths. And it's not just like a bunch of people who are like unemployed, who like had nothing better to do than be on TV because they're hot and pretty. Like, it's right. really like dynamic characters. Like, Xavier's a lawyer. That's crazy. Like, it's just so cool to see all of the different aspects. And like, I don't think I've ever seen a phlebotomist on the show. Like, it's right. just really cool to see how diverse in so many ways this cast is.
Has ASD.
Yes. Like,
you know, it's just such a great cast.
It's such a great cast. I'm excited. I mean, you'll probably become friends with all of these people, so that's super exciting. I can't wait to follow that journey. I'm like ready for it to be over just because I want to see who wins. I'm getting nervous about Tiff. I hope that they don't get her out. I'm worried.
I cannot imagine. I understand playing for yourself, but I really cannot imagine any, like maybe DF. I can't imagine Xavier kicking Tiffany out knowing the call. I mean, even if it is better for your personal game, okay, but everybody lost their people. Azza and DF lost both of their people. Xavier has basically had two people with Christian and then Alyssa. So he kind of had like a little bonus person in there. I can't even fathom for that amount of money, Xavier really coming out his mouth and saying, we're evicting Tiffany. I know that once it gets to final six, all bets are off and it's going to get crazy.
Yeah, thing too. The people who say like, oh, this season's boring, it's predictable. I'm like, wait till there's only six left. And then it's going to be absolute chaos because they're going to all be trying to like convince each other to be their final twos and get the other person out. And like, it might not be smart to win HOH because you want their vote and you don't want to put them on the block. It's just going to be so interesting to see all of that transpire, especially with these double evictions.
I agree. And I think a lot of times, and I could be wrong, but I think maybe not a lot, but at least some of the time, it'll be very, very, very exciting pre-jury and then just kind of like womp womp after jury. Whereas I have felt like it's been consistently like, oh my gosh, what's going on the whole way through? Even if you knew that the cookout had a goal to get to final six, we've seen their struggles internally staying committed to a cause that they all very much believe in. And I totally understand why they believe in that and why they're trying to do it. But then their personal relationships with the people outside of the cookout, had they not this cause, perhaps there would have been totally different alliances. And so seeing each member of the cookout, honestly, internally or verbally struggle with that has been sociologically fascinating, I think, the entire way through. To believe that you're doing something bigger than yourself and to stick to that and really believe it is admirable. It's sacrificial, you know, in a lot of ways, especially because I don't care how rich you are. If somebody says you're going to have $750,000 more dollars, you're going to be really pumped about that. Like, okay, nice. I mean,
yeah, I mean, So from what was your experience like? Like, I mean, I won't say I'm a huge fan of BB20, but you were definitely the saving grace of that season. Like, what was your experience like, you know, trying to get to the end? Did you like, do you see a lot of your same struggles with like alliances than this season, or was it totally different?
It was completely different. For me, it was, I felt very ostracized pretty much the entire time, even sometimes within my own alliance. And so that was like, that was difficult for me, not to be swole-headed to say this, but it, when I meet people in real life, people vibe with me. Like, they just, they're like, oh yeah, I fuck with you. Like, you know, you're cool, blah, blah, blah. Or you're hilarious or whatever. And the first week of me, of us all living together, people just were not picking up what I was laying down. They did not understand me. They were not vibing with me. There were, like, I talk about this quite a bit because it was just so, oh my God. Brett and Winston would be in a room talking and I would go in to try to like, not to interrupt their game talk, but just like, I mean, I'm trying to talk to people within the house and they would literally stop talking, get up and walk out of the room. Angela Rummins, who I'm cool with now, you know, like there's no anything or whatever beef or, I mean, there's, it's a, you know, we're like, I'm pretty cordial with all these people. So as a, you know, now it's like 3 years later, I don't really care. But going back, like, I remember posting up next to her because I was like, shit, two Angelas, like, how likely is that? I laid next to her when she was suntanning and I'm like, so you're a model. I have a lot of friends that are models. And she just kind of rolled her eyes and was like, Like, I was like, hey, have you been to Thailand? Have you been here? Like, a lot of my friends are models. Like, you know, and the behind the scenes was, I have a astrological symbol tattooed on me. It's a Cancer symbol because I'm a Cancer. Brett and Winston were over there talking about, ew, she's nasty. She left her kid. She has a 69 tattooed on her wrist. What did, you know, she's making stuff up. Like, they were mean to me in that house. And then not a damn person trusted me. They were all like a good 10 years younger than me. I'm in a committed ass relationship. So I can't like be flirting with all these young people, even though I don't think they would have given me the time of day to begin with. I couldn't even try that angle because I'm a married woman with kids, you know, like, and I'm happy in my relationship. It's, I guess, bets off if you're not happy and you go out there and you're in a house, fuck it, whatever, you know, but like I am in a happy, committed relationship. So that it was really difficult for me. It was really difficult for me to sync up with these people. I found myself in the DR a lot saying, this isn't fair. Like, how am I even supposed to do anything? None of these people will give me the time of day. So then when I got out of the house, it was a lot of like, oh, you picked the wrong side to work with, da 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 da. You should have aligned differently, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, first of all, I like the people that I aligned with. I don't actually dislike any of these people. I mean, some of them I still have blocked to this day, but I digress. You know, like, I tried to talk to everyone. And that is another thing that I find very refreshing about this season, about this cast, about these people, is they have not ostracized anyone. And I've watched the feeds and I watched the edited show. And no one has been made to feel like some weirdo outcast that, like, you know, nobody's given the time of day on. Even though people are being targeted, they all still feel like really cool. They've had a lot on this season, a lot of house bonding moments where everybody did stuff together. And sure, there's probably still that weird, awkward tension when it gets close to an eviction or, you know, whatever else, but it looks a lot like it feels differently. It's not a cast of it's not a fraternity sorority house and you're not in the fraternity or sorority standing around at the mixer, you know. It's been very open and welcoming and feels very warm even now yeah. with starting to talk behind each other's backs and stuff.
Yeah, I noticed that too with, Brittany and Derek X, who really weren't like super close in the house. And now you're seeing all these like funny videos on the Instagram of them like hanging out in the jury house. And I'm like, that is so cool. Cause I feel like most seasons you have the like fight in the jury house that they always show during the episode. I'm like, I don't think we're going to get that this year because they're all just like hanging out and like friendly, and it's like actually very refreshing to watch. And I wonder if that's going to like send a message to CBS, like, hey, like people don't need different personalities that clash to make good TV. Like you don't have to cast, you know, the rock star and the Brett to like, you know, have good TV. You could cast people who get along and people will still like it and watch it. And you don't have to do that.
Yeah, and I really hope that the audience, that the viewers take that into consideration. And I because Big Brother is such a microcosm of society, I often wonder what's going on when I see people tweeting, oh my God, this is boring. Oh my God, we need fights. Oh my God, we need this, we need that. And I'm kind of like, I've really realized that after being on Big Brother myself and watching a couple seasons after that, I really am not for real people going through it. I like my drama with dragons and wizards and like, I mean, my, you know, real life can put us through so many different things that I don't want to turn on my TV and see somebody devastated and crying and find that enjoyable as a real person. Like that doesn't do it for me at all. And people are like, oh, so you want a kumbaya house? I guess that is what I want, because that's a real person over there devastated and sobbing with their heart out. And now you're going to meme them because they made a snot bubble. Like, you know, and like, I mean, sure, we all, you know, there's a big amount of you signed up for that. Absolutely. And I fucking love that I did it, honestly. Like, it's been such a wild ride, even continuing on over the past 3 years of all the things that come from it. I don't ever regret it at all. However, if I could have inserted myself into a house, it would have been this cast.
Yeah. So that kind of leads to my next question. Would you go on again?
Of course. Of course I would. I say, of course I would, because the reason I went on before is because we live in an apartment, we pay our bills, we do not see any immediate way that we're going to have $20,000 to $30,000 to put down on a house that we own. Maybe 10, 20 years. But like, we have four kids and we live in an apartment. I would absolutely go back on any opportunity to make that kind of money, period. Like, I went on it before because I had left my nightclub management job. I had had a surprise baby. I did not know what I was going to do. And this was my mom's favorite show. And she was like, well, Angela, maybe you should just audition for Big Brother. And I was like, fine. And so I just sent in a tape and they called me 2 weeks later. But I had literally just had a baby 5 months before going on Big Brother. So that is, you know, there's, and that's led to a lot of really interesting conversations as well. Not just because I have a three-year-old, because people view you on TV and they take that as like who you are, how they remember you. And that was absolutely me, but it was also me 5 months after having a baby. So my hormones were crazy. I still had my postpartum body, which I absolutely love, but is not my typical size. So there was like, you know, then there's a fair amount of, oh my God, are you okay? You lost so much weight. You know, I'm okay. I went on the show 5 months after having a baby. You know, like, and I, so there's a lot of that. It's just interesting. The whole ride is interesting. And I really try to be a good, when I got out of the house, there were several alumni that reached out to me and they told me that if I ever needed anything, you know, I could give them a call, we could talk. There were several alumni I had hours long conversations with. It's so elitist to say this, but no one will understand what you went through like another alumni. There's just no, you can't explain it to your friends. You can't explain it to your family. People in the audience, they might watch it, but they still don't understand it. And then they're like, whatever, you were on TV. But there are some, like, you kind of have PTSD a bit when you come out of the experience. And so anybody that has come off of that, I pay that forward and I reach out to them. Hey, I was on season 20. If you ever need anything, if you ever need anyone to talk to, here's my number, blah, 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 blah. And that is just, so I've become friends with like Jessica Milagros, Kat Dunn, for the people that were the season after me, mainly just, I guess those, and Kemi, of course, I love Kemi. I've become close with those three people and they weren't even on my cast. And that's an interesting way. Some people hate the whole alumni family thing and they can hate that as much as they want, but we are trauma bonded through.
No, I love it. I think it's so cool. It's like part of the only reason I would ever want to be on the show is because I'm like, I want to be friends with all these people. So like, if I go on, then I'll just be friends. Who cares if I win? I'll just be friends with all of these people. They're so cool. I love it. I mean, I think the same, and it's sort of starting to happen. I feel like it's been that way with Big Brother, the whole, because it's been on for so long, but I've noticed it with like the circle, like the two seasons I like just see on Instagram, they're like hanging out. And I just am like, I love the bond that, because this is so unique in that these are real people on TV. So like, these aren't like actresses who are like, oh yeah, we did a show together. Like, nah, nah. And then they like go to another show. It's like, these are real people who like have aspirations to like move to LA or do something with their lives. And they all are bonded by this like crazy experience. And they're all like, the hustle is real for these people because they haven't made it. Like they're working really hard. And I like have so much respect for that because it's not like, you know, you get off the show. And for some people, I guess, you know, your platform is handed to you and you're like, here, make $1 billion or whatever posting on Instagram.
But, it definitely happens.
For a lot of people, it's like, no, you have to still like, you work really hard. And I think that is like such a cool experience to watch, like people bond over that hustle as well. I mean, even like, I love Kat's podcast is so good. And just like watching people like who actually make stuff and not just like get paid because they were on TV. I think I have a lot of respect for that. And so I think it's I love the alumni thing. It's amazing. I'm such a fan.
It is. I think one of the coolest things was when a couple years ago, I went to Hearts of Reality in Orlando, which is a charity for Give Kids the World Village. And Hearts of Reality takes a bunch of reality personalities or stars, whatever you want to call us, and does a bunch of meet and greet type fundraisers for Give Kids the World Village, which is this amazing charity. And while I was there, you know, we're going to different places, there's Survivor alumni and Challenge alumni and Big Brother alumni, and I want to say there were some other and we're all like comparing notes about production or about the quarantines or about like just the way that things were run. One thing I always laugh about with Big Brother that I know now why, but we have plastic utensils. You know, they don't give us a metal knife. They don't. So we always kind of joke with the survivor people that have hatchets to, you know, that like they must be more mentally stable than we are, clearly, because they get actual tools and we get plastic knives that we have to try to figure out how to open a watermelon with. So
that's hilarious. I mean, yeah, it's just stuff like that. So, okay. So you applied, I watched your audition tape. You applied and then you got a call like 2 weeks later. And was that where they just like, yeah, like come on the show, or like how, what was that process like?
So they call and they say, you're going to do a Skype interview, and you do several of those. And then you have a phone call with the casting director, I think a couple more Skype-y type interviews, and then they bring you out to LA. And that is where I will end my little story, because that is a part of the, I think it's kind of like hazing a bit for the alumni. Like there are things that happen in the casting call that like only we know. So I kind of, I don't know.
So when you go out for that, do you go out and then you come home, or you stay and that's when?
Oh no. Yeah. You go out for that and you come home after. And I'd say the interesting thing that I will say about that is you are not allowed to speak to or interact with anybody else, but it is not uncommon to be standing in the elevator and someone else comes into the elevator and they have all their luggage, and you can tell that they didn't make it. They're on their way home.
So did you see anyone like that was going to be on your cast during that time? But you just didn't know.
I saw Rachel. I saw Brett. I saw Angela. Bailey. Yeah. Bailey and I sat next to each other. I offered her an Altoid and winked at her, not because she had stinky breath, just because I had Altoids. And
that's hilarious.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to talk to anybody. They had me so shook because you're not allowed to talk to or look at anybody. Rachel Swindler said the reason that she didn't want to work with me is because she saw me at one of the dinners and she smiled at me and I kind of like looked away from her. And I was looking away from everybody because they put the fear of God into me not to interact with any of these people. So I was like, you know, and you don't know who's there for the audition. You don't know who's a guest at the hotel. I'm pretty sure they're auditioning other shows as well during the same time period. So it's just a weird.
Wow.
There's a whole lot.
So this year they had like Christy obviously couldn't be on it. So they had an alternate. Did you know you were a cast member, or were you just told like you might be on it, you might not?
I was told or asked, they said, would you be willing to be an alternate? And I said, sure. But before I went out there, they said, you're not going to be an alternate. We want you on.
Okay.
So I didn't know. I was the only one with kids in my house. So I don't really know if they did me that service of letting me know that I was going to be on, because I have 4 kids and that's a little bit more to work around than just like, I have a job, you know, I have a job too, but I have these 4 kids and we need to make sure that they're not, you know, that they're taken care of.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's crazy. A crazy process.
It is. And there's so much more to it, but I kind of hold those secrets dear because it's weird. It's weird.
Yeah, it's all very totally. Oh my gosh. Well, thanks for sharing even just that. That's crazy. Okay. So I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I guess, so I just saw your tweet that you are like getting a lot more opportunity. And I was just wondering if you are willing to talk about any of it or.
So I am going to host a internet reality TV show. And I'm flying out next week to do that. And the network is kind of taking off, but I'll talk about that more once they say that I can. But the people featured on the network so far, like Aaron Carter and Peppa from Salt and Peppa, and like Eazy-E's grandkid or son has an interview, or grandson has an interview on there. And like, it seems like the network is doing well. They reached out to me to host this reality show, and I was like, dope. Yeah, I will definitely do that. I also recently got signed with an influencer agency, which I'm absolutely thrilled about, because it eliminates a lot of the footwork that I find difficult in my personal day to day because of having kids and stuff like that. I find it hard to constantly reach out to different companies or even, and then there's a lot of, they do all the footwork of, hey, this brand wants you. Here's your contract. Here's when you post, do it. And I'm like, yes, thank you. Anything to eliminate or ease the fact that I'm already running a ship of six people, you know, is super helpful. Influencing is a weird, it's an interesting market. It's like it's commercial work, but it's also, it's such a, my followers, my 38,700 followers are all real people. There's a lot of ways that I think you can add to a following, and that maybe they're real people, maybe they're not, but you're adding to your own following through a outside source of some kind. I don't do any of that. I don't know if it's beneficial. I don't even know. It's kind of a secret in the influencer industry. No one will say, yes, I buy followers. No one would ever say that. But it always has me wondering, like, how do you get past this certain hump or whatever of like, you know, I've basically plateaued at whatever I'm at. And even though I post regularly and have all that going on and do ads and still have people that are very engaged, it doesn't seem to go up for me. So I'm looking forward to having an agency to kind of let that knows what they're doing to give me that, whatever guidance is the word that I'm looking for. I don't know. I've definitely maintained a solid, whatever my platform is at, which is, I think on every platform that I'm on other than YouTube, I have around just under 40,000 or maybe. So add it all together, that's like 100,000. But that's, and I kind of like that I've spread myself out. Maybe I could grow more if I fully focused on just one of those platforms, maybe just TikTok or maybe just Instagram. You know, I don't even know that that's entirely true, but these are just all the things that I've tried to work out. My background before doing nightclubs, which I started, I guess, in between, like, I've worked in nightclubs for years and years and years, mostly management. But the more kids I had, the less that was feasible for me to continue doing, because any nightclub that I manage is my baby. I'm throwing events. I'm making sure all my employees are taken care of. I'm making sure that the customers and the guests are having a fantastic time. That becomes my entire world. My entire world has to be these four people that I'm raising, at least until they're a little bit older, and then they, you know, are kind of doing their own thing. But my background is in theater and musical theater. I went to college for theater. I have done acting and voiceover work since I was a child. So all of this is not completely outside of a realm of anything I've ever done. Like, there's, so that's, anyway, I'm excited for all the things that are starting to come together 3 years after Big Brother. It was not, none of this is exactly like you said, none of this was handed to me, except for the fact that I was on a TV show. Maintaining all the different platforms and growing them even by a couple hundred, you know, people has all been me. And that's, I feel all right with that. I'd like it to keep growing. I think more opportunities, to grow and learn and try new things and get creative and have some fun. So I'm looking forward to everything. I did the boxing match. That was wild.
That's like, amazing.
Where did that even come from? That was so nuts. And I'm such a marshmallow, but I was like, you know, I'll fight, whatever, let's go.
You're very brave. I mean,
I'll pretty much do almost anything. I don't think I could do like a cleaning show. If there was like a cleaning show, I don't think I could do that for any amount of money. Not because I'm a dirtball, just because I feel like maids and janitorial people and custodial work, they're like the true unsung heroes of America. Like, oh my gosh, cleaning up, especially when you go to like a public space and you know that somebody is cleaning up the mall bathroom or whatever, like, God bless those people, you know? Yeah. Ew. I mean, really, like, they should be. Anyway, I digress. I'm very much enjoying life. I'm excited that the kids are back in school. They were virtual for like the past 2 years. That opens up a lot of space for me to get my creative juices flowing as well. Being all on top of each other, 24/7, six people in our apartment, it's been a lot. And so creatively, I haven't been that inspired, but it's coming back because, you know, the creative mind is a weird thing and you kind of like need to be chill to produce, unless you're writing something that has come from pain or something like that, in which case, but you still need the quiet to be able to write.
Yeah, you know, it's true.
You can't have your toddler throwing a plane at your head and your 9-year-old telling you about the newest thing on Minecraft and the 13-year-old saying that their game pass is expired, so you need to fix it right now, right now, right now. I love people. I give out a lot of love. I receive a lot of love, and it sustains me. There have been a couple times where people are like, sometimes social media stresses you out. Why don't you just delete it? And I was like, no, I love those people. You know, like I do, I love them. I love all the people, even the ones that, I mean, even the trolls that say like some horrible stuff. I have DM'd those people and said, hey, are you okay? Most times they're not, honestly. They're just really going through it and lashing out at a stranger. It doesn't make it right. It's certainly not healthy, but those are people too. And I'm generally fascinated by people, by humans, by the way that we deal with the hardships of life. I mean, and if I can ever make somebody feel like, hey, it's going to be okay, I'm going to try to do that because I know it's going to be okay, because the whole thing, life is a journey. It's not a race. Here I am at 38 and things are popping off for me more than when I was in my 20s. And I have been consistently auditioning and putting myself out there since I was like 12. So you just never know, or actually even before that, I think I started acting in third grade. So yeah. So since I was like 8 or 9, I have been going on auditions. I've been grinding. When social media started, I had a MySpace. I was like, I mean, it, you know, and when I was younger, I can honestly say, I can look at some of those MySpace people and be like, why is their shit taking off? Why is my stuff not taking off? And I would feel that like envy or whatever. And what I can say looking back at 20s me is, when it's your time, it'll be your time, and your time is coming. No matter who you are, if you keep working at it, whatever it is, life is going to put you exactly where you need to be to receive those blessings that you've been praying for.
I'm Madison McGee.
And I'm AJ Christensen.
And it's the Cookouts World. We're just living in it. On the Block is a production of Yes Studios.
Music is by Harrison Amer.